Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Derek Felix of the Hard Hits Network here, a special podcast edition, just talking a little bit about the Rangers, a just brutal loss last night at the Garden, a game that they just got pummeled in by the Boston Bruins in one of those rivalry games. I did go. I went with my family, my brother, my father, my brother's friend Michael, and we went, sat up in the blue seats. And it was just gotta be one of the most embarrassing games that I've been to in quite some time. And it sums up what's been going on with the New York Rangers, is that they're not a good team anymore. And they are very bad, and they're very weak defensively. And they're very beatable, and they continue to lose games. As competitive as they were against the Stars in the game the other night, that's how uncompetitive they were against the Boston Bruins. In the Stars game, they gave up a lot of shots in the first period, over 20. As a matter of fact, the Lundqvist played great, and they competed much better throughout the rest of the game, and they would lose the game by a goal. But against the Bruins, are one of the best hockey teams, and they might be the best team, especially 5-on-5 in the Eastern Conference, and they expose the Rangers for what they are. Yes, the Rangers have injuries. Every hockey team has injuries. So while it does hurt, you know, not to have guys like Chris Kreider, and they haven't been the same offensively without him, and it hurts not to have Mark Stahl, Pavel Buchnevich, to name three, name a few right there, that they don't have. There's no excuse. But again, they are what they are. They are a flawed hockey team. And night after night, we see it. And in this game, I mean, they did not play a bad first period by any stretch against a good hockey team, the Bruins. Very good hockey team. But they made two mistakes in the first period, and they both wound up in the back of their net. The good, Rick Nash scored a beautiful goal where it highlighted why Rick Nash has been undervalued by Ranger fans, by some Ranger fans, I don't want to say all, because he's a great three-zone player. He's an excellent two-way hockey player, and he made a great play there going around Zdeno Chara, and then just ripping a shot far side against Boston backup Anton Khudobin, who started in place of Tuukka Rask for Boston, and that gave them the 1-0 lead. And Nash looked like he had a lot of jump. He probably could have had 2 or 3 more goals. And he was that good in the first period. But that was the positive. That was maybe the lone positive. And they were 11-11 in shots in the first period, but the mistakes they make, these egregious mistakes, just like the old Rangers teams that I went through, a lot of people have gone through in 98 from 2004, the Dark Ages, and when you're a bad team, those kind of mistakes, they're not only costly, but they prove fatal, and that's why they are losing hockey games, and why they continue to lose, and even though they're not losing a lot of ground in the wild card race, which is just a joke, because the whole division is just so mediocre, and it's just, there's so much parity. It's crazy to think they're only 3 points out, despite being eighth and losing in 8 out of their last 9. But Brendan Smith with another horrible performance. What else is new? They traded him for him last year, and he was good last year. And he got the contract, and he's just brutal. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was just that he had to come and get in shape, getting married, whatever. They have to consider waiving him. He's just that bad. He is just awful. A terrible play that led to the Bruins tying goal, where he got caught. He's just terrible. And the D'Angelo did not pick up the guy in front, and the Bruins tied the game up at 1. Then you had a situation where you had Camper out there with Shea. I don't know why Shea is playing Camper, who's like a glorified Steve Ebinger. But they were out there, and I think it was Zibanejad with Zouk and Nash. And Zibanejad and Zouk are just a waste defensively for the most part, especially Zibanejad at 5-5. They didn't clear the puck, and they got it to Chara, and Chara's got that great shot. And as soon as he shot it, I knew it was going in. I was just looking at where he shot it from, and I saw the screen in front, and I knew, bang, it was in the net, 2-1. And the Bruins had a lead for good. The second period was a nightmare. It was just a nightmare for them. They were uncompetitive. It was very bad. They fell apart. Even Lundqvist, he's been so good, for so long on the stretch, facing all these shots. And it's a Bergeron, harmless shot from Bergeron where he fanned on it. And Lundqvist talked about how it turns into a changeup because he kind of missed the shot. He was thinking Bergeron was going glove, and instead, it was just a roller, and Lundqvist totally missed it. It went right through the 5-hole, and right through the pads, and boy, did I take the air out of the place. And they were actually more Ranger fans of this game than usual games, but that really took the air out of an arena that's been dead for a while, but still. They were more fans there supporting them than in other games that I've been to. But there's really not much else to say. I mean, you have another just awful miscalculation by Smith that led to another goal. I think it was Bergeron's second goal, actually. Where Marchand just made a great play shorthanded, 2-1-1 down low, and bang, right across the Bergeron, draws two guys, and Bergeron puts it home. Patrice Bergeron's a great two-way hockey player. The Bruins don't need help. They're excellent 5-on-5. They're dangerous shorthanded. They're that line with Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak's probably the best 5-on-5, would be the best line in hockey. I really like the Bruins, and they're going to be pretty tough out in the playoffs, and I think they have a real good chance to come out of the East and maybe win the Stanley Cup. But with that said, just the positioning, and especially the play of Brendan Smith and also Tony D'Angelo, who had a second straight rough game, they were brutal. And then, of course, you had D'Angelo brutalized. Absolutely brutalized by, I think, Schuller. And boy, oh boy, was that. That was absolutely brutal. He just totally undressed D'Angelo and Smith as well. And I think he was falling down somehow. And this is after Lacoste had been replaced. After Lacoste was out of that at 4-1 down, he somehow was able to, as he's falling down, managed just to put the puck up top shelf and score a highlight reel goal. Wow, that was amazing. He was coming in so fast, and he somehow managed to score it, and that typified what was just a abysmal night for both Brendan Smith and Tony D'Angelo, and it typified how bad, you know, where do they go from here? I don't know, but they're going to be selling. And it's the right thing for them to do, because even though they have 56 points, they're only three behind. The writing's on the wall. Rick Nash, you know, appreciate him while he's still out. If he had a real number one center, he definitely would have probably about 7-8 more goals by now. But Nash can probably bring back a lot. I think at least two pieces. I don't know if it's going to be three pieces. That's been reported by Darren Drager of TSN. But, you know, if you can get a, but you should build a good prospect and get a high draft pick, whether it's first or second round. If and somehow you get a third piece more, that would be something. We heard Nash is a rental, but terrific. Grabner, the leading goal scorer on the Rangers with the 21 goals. And you get something for him as we hit the overtime. And if you do tune into the podcast, thank you. You know, listening to Hard Hit's special New York Rangers podcast edition. I did go to the game tonight, and it was a abysmal. And they hit the right and lose 6-1, and there were a lot of boos. And I'm not somebody who boos, but I understand it. And I understand the frustration of the fans. And it was very frustrating to watch. And I didn't really waste a lot of energy. I've been through this before. I think it's just going to get worse. And I see it get as bad, if not, I see it worse than this in the dark age, probably 98 or 04 of this team. And for the first time, Luckless is going to go through this. And they're going to have to make the changes. They're going to have to trade Rick Nash. He made his list. So there's 18 teams that he will not go to. I have to think one of the teams he would consider would be the Sharks. It's his buddy Joe Thornton is playing over there. And he's still playing well, basically, enough Jumbo Joe. But, so I think that would be one place for him to consider. I don't know who else but could be on the list, but I mean, whether he does go, it'll be a little bit sad, but it sounds like he really loves playing for the Rangers, and who knows, he might come back this summer, maybe he'll come back and take a little bit of a bargain, come back for $3.5 million or, you know, four tops, so we'll see. Grabner, it sounds like he also likes playing here, but, they got to maximize the value for Grabs. Grabs, the terrific. He's an excellent two-way hockey player. I guess he's got that game-breaking speed. He finishes plays. He plays shorthanded in a penalty kill. He's terrific 5-on-5. On a contender, he could certainly be a really excellent piece on a third line. You know, where he could be that player that he's been with the New York Rangers. And, I gotta say that's one of the best signings that they had. So you have to give them a lot of props. You have to give them a credit for that. And he's another guy who hits the market on July. He could test the market. If he really did enjoy his time here and he wants to come back, he could do that. You know, but he's gonna make a lot more money than he's made. I think $1.3 million. He's going to be getting between 3 and 4 million, probably around 3.5 million, not a little more. But like, you know, age 28, 29, he's still got some peak years left. He's a great skater, path and back. Same thing with Nash. You know, I'm just hoping one of them would consider coming back. But, you know, it's going to depend on what they do. It's going to also depend on what they do with the coaching staff, because you have to figure. Yeah, it'll be, you know, this is going to be it for LA, you know, and like he's been criticized, he gets ripped all the time, on the Twitter, on the social media, and the blogs. You know, of course, you have to post on a lot of decisions, but the idea that he didn't have some successful times here, and he didn't have some success, is a joke. He did have success. He did go to a Stanley Cup final with AV as the coach. He changed their style, made them more exciting for a while when they had the skill, when they had Bobby St. Louis, when they had all those talents. They had Derek Stepan, he had Derek Brassard. They had Dash before the injuries. They had Zuccarello, and he wasn't playing top five. So when you look at it from that perspective, yes, the series against the Kings was winnable, and they sat back way too much in those third periods, and it proved awesome. But if you want to criticize AV for that, you're absolutely right. And I said that a million times, and I was very highly critical of him. You want to criticize him for 2015 and how they lost that series to Hawaii? Go ahead. Go right ahead. I'm not gonna disagree at all. That's pretty outspoken about it. When he gets sent out at home with games 5 and 7, and of course when the game is Tampa, and it is what it is. These run here has been very similar to Vancouver, except for Vancouver. Yeah, he lost in the first round back-to-back years after reaching the Stanley Cup final and blowing the series to Boston. And those two first-round eliminations were enough. They were enough for him to get fired and the Canucks made the change. And they have struggled ever since. They have not been back to the playoffs since. But every hope has a shelf life. If you're a coach, when you're a manager, you know, whoever you are, you know, in charge of teams, you have a shelf life. And sometimes your style wears off. And the Rangers don't have as much skill as they had in 2014 or 2015 or even 2016. So, when you don't have as much skill, you know, playing this system, this offensive system, this transition system, they're going to be as productive. And I also forgot to mention that Shattuck Kirk, of course, they don't have him either. And he was a show of himself playing with the pain. So you can criticize and blame it all on AV all you want, but you do have to look at some of the players. You have to look at the personnel. It's part of it too. So fair is fair. When people say, oh, fire him now, they're not thinking it straight. I mean, I remember when they fired Roger Nielsen back in 92, 93. And Rod Smith took over, and they were even worse. There's no point in firing him now. I think he's earned the right to at least stay until the end of the year. They've been to the playoffs every year under him. He's certainly kind of lost success under him. You want to say that he's not the best thing he does, go ahead. I mean, there's a lot of things you can criticize. You know, like some of the lineup decisions, that's fine. I've been outspoken about that too. But what's the point of firing him now when I will just be living with taking over or else Gordon Dale? The whole staff will need to be overhauled down to it. Mine it out. Make a deal that you can make with Nash, with Graham there. If you get that four-round pick back for Nicolin, who will be a more serviceable player on a contender where he's a depth of cuts, but instead of playing top pair, which just tells you how off balance the Rangers are, then you could probably get that four-round pick back for Nicolin. Because whatever team will use them the right way. And as far as McDonough,
I've asked something about Mathota too. He's had struggles, and he's not the player he once was. But he is there where Loss. He is the captain. He Loss. He's not the greatest leader. Okay, but this guy loves this team, and to hear the disappointment, to hear coming home. We, of course, we left the game a little early because the exceptional was in Boston's worst goal. We were out of there in the third period. But you listen to the post game, you hear him, and he sounds like flying off the press, talking about one of the most embarrassing games, one of the most embarrassing games of his career. And you could just tell how much they not care. You know, it's too bad that he doesn't have a real level one top pair D part. It's just too bad. And, sometimes I wonder, you know, why not just put Shane with him? Why not try that? But they haven't. They tried Shattenkirk early. It didn't work. I don't know what's going to happen. Brian Pagano's got one more year left, and he can hit the free agency in 2019. And he'll be 30. That's the whole thing. He's been a bargain. Making the 4.5, whatever he makes now, he's going to bargain. That was a good sign. It was a very smart move by Santa. But you know that he's going to be commanding between 7 and 8 million when he hits the market the following summer. And a guy in his 30s wanting that kind of contract, whether it's 5, 6, maybe even 7 years. He's not going to be worth it. So if Kefe really is serious about bringing him there, maybe have him be the second pair guy, you teaming him with Jamari, how crazy would that be? And they already got Strawman because Saylor was foolish enough to let him walk and bring him Dan Boyle, who was just abysmal and embarrassed himself. But I imagine if you have Hedman, Strella, you have McDonough, Jory, and Reteam as a second pair, the type of service have, and a couple of other guys as a third pair, be very interesting. But if they really are sitting with them for 2 years, and you can't get a first round pick, you can't get a good player, whether it's Kyle Johnson or whoever it is, and maybe another prospect, you have to do it. You have to. Because that's the best way to rebuild where you have to stick. That's Zuccarello, same thing, same deal. I think this guy will draw more interest because he's a defenseman. He's a left skate defenseman who can mod a ton of minutes. He can play power play, he can play penalty kill. He's good 5-on-5. I know at times he's struggling this year, but I think part of it is he has to overcompensate. His hold is not the best defensively. It seems like he just has to do too much. So, and that's a problem. So, whatever they decide to do, selling is the right move for them, and they have to do what's best moving forward. You know, as far as the current roster, you know, what happens when they track us, well, you get to see some of the other guys get pulled up. So, I don't know. With the plans with Philip Hill, with 10 points, with Peggy's Parker. I don't know what the plan is with Elias Anderson, who's scored his first career AHL goal. I'll see why he can't bring up a Neil Pionk as a recall for the Blue Line, see what he could do. Now they turned it around with Parker. Well, Ryan Graves, whoever they want to bring up. But you know, once that trade deadline finishes on February 26th, they can make the changes that they will be calling. And you can bring Nieves back up instead of having Peter Holland Tuttle as your fourth line guy. So, look, I understand how tough it is when this happens. It's very tough to watch, obviously. But I'm not overreacting to it. I've seen it before, and I understand. They're where they are. And you know, I don't root for losses. I still want them to play well, but the more they lose, the better it is for their draft positioning. You want to get into the top 10. I'm hoping they can get to maybe 6 or 7. Maybe if they get there, maybe they can wind up with Brady Kachuk, who would be the big power forward that they've lacked for so long. So, hey boy, he's really good for us in that. There's a number of defensemen, too. But they're probably going to be off the board. Dolan's going to be guard, first of all. Calvin and Coyote, so whatever it is. And there's an American defenseman as well. They'll probably be guard as well. But I'm just hoping, you know, that they do get good once more for Henry before his contract runs out. Because insert's better than this. He's always been all in. He's there, win or lose, after every game. Just like McDonough. Just like Dash. So with the same last. Probably leave it out a couple. But, you know, one thing else I want to say before I end this is just that we use some trap guys. Cool guys. Guys that were so important to those runs, whether it was Broussard, and then they traded for Zibanejad, who should be better than he is. Especially 5-5. But when it comes down to it, you should track the Derek Broussard. You should track the Derek Stepan. You're losing guys that were a big part of the success they had. So what I do think we've been spoiled. It's just that they never were able to win a cup. And I don't know when it's going to happen. But I just have to hope that they'll do the right thing. They'll do a good job, you know, in terms of who they move. And we just got to ride it out. We'll see where they want to go. They got Calgary on Friday. And boy, Calgary, not only can they score, but they're tough as nails. So that could be pretty ugly as well. So, you know, it's not going to get any easier. Seems like that's the case for all my teams right now. You know, the Knicks there. Porzingis went down with the ACL after a dunk on Antetokounmpo. That's just brutal. He's going to be gone for a long time. It's just sad. They're a pathetic team as well. And they got some issues with the coach, but that could be another podcast. The Giants, New York football Giants fan. They're bad as well. I don't know what they're going to do with the second pick, if they're going to keep it or they're going to trade it. But they're probably going to be bad for a while, too. If I didn't have the Yankees, I would have nothing. So, excited for spring training. I'm very pumped up about Paige on what they were able to do. You know, back up, upsell with Duke. They traveled by going to Philadelphia, beating Villanova. That's very impressive. That's too bad. I missed both games. But I'm very proud of that. So there's that at least. But, look, I mean, it's sports. And things change sometimes. So we knew from the 14. They aren't what they are. They're, you know, like the Marcel says, your record is cricket. What it is, it says who you are. That's who you are. Those are facts. Definitely catch some more of our shows, our live shows, and we'll do more hockey. I'll try to do more hockey because I'm a big hockey guy. Yeah, I wish I had done more, you know, because I love hockey. But hope everybody's doing well out there, and you all have a great night and enjoy your Thursday. Good night.